Imagine having the guts to walk into a room full of investors, look them directly in the eye, and say, "You know, I know we just asked you for $1 million, but
What we were completely wrong.
exactly. Say we were wrong, and actually, we only want 50 grand now."
I mean, that takes a massive amount of nerve.
It really does. And today, we're welcoming you to a deep dive where we are opening up a stack of leaked internal documents that show a startup doing exactly that.
Yeah, it's a fascinating pivot.
Right. We have an internal direct-to-consumer validation capital plan alongside an executive pitch deck. And this is for a functional beverage brand called Elevate Quantum D9.
And you know what we're looking at here, it really is a masterclass in ego death.
Oh, totally.
Because we are looking at a company actively shifting its entire operational strategy from like this blind fantasy-driven growth to meticulous data-backed validation.
Right, they're stepping back from the ledge.
Exactly. Stepping back from a massive unsustainable cash burn and telling their financial backers, "Hey, we don't want growth capital yet. We just want validation capital."
Which is such a profound pivot. Because, I mean, before anyone can confidently ask for $50,000 to run this highly calibrated marketing machine, they have to survive the reality check that broke that original million-dollar dream in the first place.
Yeah, the wake-up call.
Right. And looking at the sources, the original consultant reviewing Elevate's million-dollar ask flagged it with a pretty terrifying phrase.
Oh, yeah, the immediate credibility challenge.
Yes. The documents note that asking for seven figures relative to the company's current traction creates an immediate credibility challenge.
Which, if we translate that from consultant speak, it basically means the founders would be laughed out of any serious venture capital boardroom.
Literally laughed out of the room. Yeah.
Yeah. And the justification for that harsh reality check, it's hiding in plain sight inside their Shopify analytics.
Let's get into those numbers because they are brutal.
They are. So at the time of this audit, Elevate Quantum D9 had generated roughly 95 paid orders.
Okay, 95 orders.
Right. And that translates to about $9,700 in historical revenue.
With an average order value of what, like $102?
Exactly, $102.
Which, honestly, generating 10 grand in early revenue usually feels like a massive win for a brand new physical product.
Sure, yeah.
Like you see those Shopify notifications pinging on your phone,
Yeah.
and it feels like, wow, the market loves us.
But the thing is, the market didn't love them.
Right.
Their friends loved them. Because when the consultants cross-referenced the shipping names on those 95 orders against the founders' personal networks, the whole illusion just shattered.
It was all people they knew.
Almost entirely. Existing relationships, early angel investors buying a case to support the team, industry contacts, former colleagues.
And literal family members.
Literally their families, yes.
It's so funny because it's the adult equivalent of a childhood lemonade stand.
That is a perfect analogy.
Right. Like when you make $50 selling lemonade on your front lawn, you feel like a retail genius.
Oh, yeah, you think you're a mogul.
But in reality, your mom, your uncle, your sympathetic neighbor, they aren't buying the lemonade because you have some disruptive citrus strategy.
Right. They just like you.
Exactly. They want to support you.
Ah.
But you simply cannot scale your mom.
You really can't. And the consultant's diagnosis in this internal plan captures that exact dynamic. They pointed out that Elevate does not have a product problem.
Yeah.
They have a brand affinity and a customer acquisition problem. They're relying entirely on a supportive inner circle, which is just a massive false positive for actual market demand.
So if the hard data proves that you can't build a business on sympathetic friends, the immediate hurdle becomes obvious.
You have to find strangers.
Right. What makes this specific canned beverage so undeniable that a total stranger scrolling through Instagram will stop, pull out their credit card, and actually buy it?
Well, to answer that, we have to look at the chemistry and the positioning outlined in the deck.
Let's do it. What exactly is Elevate Quantum D9?
So it's engineered as a low-dose sessionable alcohol alternative. And the critical piece of technology here, the thing that makes it work, is nanoemulsification.
Okay, let's break that mechanism down because the word nanotechnology gets thrown around in marketing all the time.
It really does. It's become a buzzword.
Yeah. But normally, if you consume a traditional THC gummy, it has to travel all the way down into your digestive tract and get processed by your liver, right?
Exactly.
And your liver converts the THC into a totally different metabolite. I think it's called 11-hydroxy-THC.
That's right.
And that process takes up to 2 hours. And when it finally hits, it often hits like a freight train.
Oh, completely incapacitating the user.
Which completely ruins a casual Friday night social event.
Yeah, nobody wants to be locked to the couch at a dinner party. So, nanoemulsification solves this by breaking the THC particles down so incredibly small that they actually become water soluble. Yeah, so they bypass liver processing almost entirely. They absorb directly through the stomach lining and into the bloodstream within like 10 to 15 minutes.
So it mimics the exact pacing and onset of sipping a light beer or maybe a glass of wine.
Exactly. You feel it while you are drinking it, which means you can easily control your intake.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
And the Elevate formulation utilizes 5 milligrams of that nanoemulsified hemp-derived Delta-9 THC.
Right, paired with 5 milligrams of CBD.
To smooth out the cognitive effects, I assume.
Yeah, it rounds out the experience.
Yeah.
And they've added electrolytes for hydration and kept the entire thing at zero sugar and zero calories.
So it's healthy, quote unquote.
As healthy as a recreational beverage gets, yeah. And they built out a distinct 4-flavor portfolio to match premium seltzer trends.
What are the flavors?
You've got green apple for a part crisp profile, watermelon for something sweet and smooth, mixed berry and lemon lime.
Nice and classic.
Yeah, and they also developed this highly portable on-the-go neutral electrolyte drink mix powder stick.
Oh, like a liquid IV packet.
Exactly like that. You tear it open, pour it into any water bottle at the gym or the golf course, shake it up, and you're good.
But, you know, all of those specs sound great on a manufacturing spreadsheet, but none of it matters until you define the target audience.
Right. Who is actually buying this?
And Elevate is going after a very distinct demographic here. Affluent millennials, aged 28 to 45, pulling in $75,000 to over $200,000 a year.
Very premium buyer.
Yeah, alongside active lifestyle moms, aged 35 to 55.
And the deck notes, they are heavily targeting the emerging pickleball demographic.
Of course they are. Pickleball is huge right now.
It's massive. Golfers, too. Basically, high-performing professionals who are increasingly crippled by hangover anxiety.
Hangover anxiety is so real when you hit your 30s.
Oh, absolutely. These are consumers who want the ritual of holding a premium canned beverage at a social gathering, and they want that slight buzz of unwinding.
But they refuse to sacrifice their Saturday morning Peloton ride to a miserable alcohol hangover.
Precisely. And looking at their competitive landscape slide, they map this out to find their specific white space.
Right. How do they compare to the others?
Well, they chart themselves against a brand like Can, which is a popular social tonic but features a much lighter 2-milligram dose.
Okay, so Can is a bit weaker.
Yeah. Then they look at Wink, which leans heavily into the light alcohol replacement space, and Cycling Frog, which captures the affordable, high-volume value market.
So where does Elevate fit in?
Elevate is attempting to plant its flag at the absolute intersection of premium lifestyle and functional performance. They are literally calling it the future of social drinking.
The future of social drinking. That's a bold claim.
Very bold, and they push that identity incredibly hard in the pitch. There is a slide with this massive bold quote that basically serves as their entire marketing philosophy.
Let me guess, something about changing lives.
Pretty close. It says, "We are not selling THC. We are selling the person our consumer wants to become."
Okay, I have to stop on that quote because it sounds suspiciously like snake oil to me.
You think so?
I mean, promising a profound identity-level lifestyle transformation from a zero-sugar canned seltzer, it feels like a dangerous game. Are they really expecting investors to believe a drink changes who you are?
Well, in a commoditized functional market, it is basically the only survival strategy that actually works.
How so?
Think about the mechanics of the beverage industry. Putting 5 milligrams of THC and zero sugar into an aluminum can is not a defensible moat.
Right, anyone could do that.
Exactly. Any massive beverage conglomerate with a bottling plant can reverse engineer that chemistry by next Tuesday.
That's fair. But I'm still struggling with how a beverage makes you a quote-unquote high achiever. It's just carbonated water and hemp extract.
It's about the psychological signal the can sends to the room.
Okay, elaborate on that.
When a consumer walks into a neighborhood barbecue holding an Elevate can instead of some generic tie-dye stoner brand, they are signaling to their peers, and to themselves really, that they are health conscious, financially successful, and making a premium wellness choice.
Ah, I see. So the chemistry provides the buzz, but the brand provides the social armor.
That's a great way to put it. That brand affinity is how you justify charging a premium price, and it's the only asset a larger competitor cannot easily copy.
Okay, so that brings us to a massive structural tension in this story.
Which is?
They have a scientifically optimized product, and they have this highly sophisticated psychological positioning strategy. But as we established earlier, they have zero proof that strangers will actually buy it.
Yep, the mom bought my lemonade problem.
Exactly. So how does a founder walk into a room of early investors, admit they only sold to their family members, take a $1 million ask off the table, and still successfully ask for money to bridge the gap?
Well, the new pitch deck is just a masterclass in narrative framing. The revised capital ask is remarkably small.
How small?
Just $25,000 to $50,000.
Wow, from $1 million down to 50 grand.
Yeah. And the psychological angle they use on the investors here is crucial. They emphasize that the heavy lifting of building a company is already finished.
Right, they lay out all the assets they already have.
Exactly. The branding and packaging are completely designed. Mm. The chemical formulation is locked and tested.
And the legal stuff too, right?
Yeah, the legal compliance framework for shipping hemp-derived products across state lines is fully established. The Shopify digital infrastructure is live, and the manufacturing relationships are secured.
So the founders are basically looking at the investors and saying, hey, we are not asking you to fund a risky startup from scratch. We are asking you to accelerate an asset that is fully built and just idling on the runway.
That's exactly the pitch. And the financial instrument they are using to secure this 50 grand is just as strategic.
What are they using?
They are structuring it as a $50,000 SAFE with a 24-month term, an 8% interest rate, and a 20% discount.
Okay, let's translate that acronym for anyone listening who hasn't spent time in venture capital circles.
Good idea.
SAFE stands for Simple Agreement for Future Equity. It is essentially a clever delay tactic, because valuing a startup that only has 95 sales is a total nightmare.
Oh, it's impossible. You'd argue for months.
Right. So instead of arguing with investors about what the company's worth today, a SAFE says, give us $50,000 in cash right now so we can run our marketing experiments.
And then?
When we eventually raise our massive $1 million round of funding 2 years from now, your initial 50 grand will automatically convert into company stock.
Okay, but what's in it for the early investor?
As a reward for taking this early risk with us, you get to buy that stock at a guaranteed 20% discount compared to the new investors.
It's brilliant because it completely eliminates the friction of negotiation. The core objective of this $50,000 isn't to build a massive company. It's to purchase a very specific set of data points to prove the company can be massive.
But put yourself in the shoes of an investor for a second. A founder walks in, originally hyping a $1 million vision, and suddenly they drop their ask down to 50 grand just to run a test. Doesn't that look like a terrifying lack of confidence? They're retreating?
In many scenarios, yes, it would look terrible. But Elevate counters that perception by presenting a brutally strict customer economics slide.
Okay, I love a good economics slide.
They outline 5 investor milestones that this $50,000 will unequivocally answer.
What's milestone 1?
Can they generate profitable website traffic, aiming for a conversion rate above 2%?
Makes sense. Milestone 2.
Can customers be acquired efficiently, meaning keeping the customer acquisition cost strictly under $35?
That customer acquisition cost, or CAC, is really the entire ballgame here.
It really is.
Like if they spend $100 on Facebook ads and get 2 people to buy a $40 case of drinks, their CAC is $50.
Right.
And if their CAC is $50, they lose money on every single initial purchase.
Exactly, which forces them to rely heavily on milestone 3.
Which
will the customers buy again? Elevate is targeting a 30% repeat purchase rate. The initial transaction is just the entry point. The true health of the business is the lifetime value of the customer.
Also known as LTV.
Yes, LTV. Because if it costs $35 to acquire a stranger, but that stranger subscribes and spends $200 over the next 6 months, the economics are spectacular.
Right, the math works. So following that logic, Milestone 4 is proving they can generate positive margins after factoring in those advertising costs.
Correct.
And finally, Milestone 5. Does that math reveal a clear, predictable path to generating $250,000 to $500,000 in annualized revenue?
Yep. But, you know, promising an investor a $35 acquisition cost is easy on a slide deck.
Oh, anyone can type a number on a slide.
Right. Actually, achieving it in a hyper-competitive digital advertising market requires a truly surgical execution plan.
And that brings us to the operational core of the documents, the 30-60-90-day blueprint.
This is the exact map of how they plan to spend the $50,000 over 3 months to acquire strangers.
And it starts with the architecture of their sales funnel. They never ask a stranger to buy a massive, expensive case of a drink they've never tasted.
No, that's way too much friction.
Exactly. They start with a low-friction trial purchase. Getting someone to buy a 4-pack for $24.999 to $39.99.
Just a taste.
Right. And once the product is in the customer's fridge and they experience those fast-acting effects we talked about, the brand deploys educational emails and founder stories to build affinity.
To reel them in.
Yeah, the goal is to graduate that trial buyer into a case purchase of 24 cans.
And from there, they push for a monthly subscription.
Exactly. Ultimately, turning them into a vocal brand advocate.
Mm-hmm.
They project the lifetime value of a successful conversion to hit between $150 and $300.
But a funnel that robust requires really focused traffic. You can't just spray ads everywhere.
No, you can't.
So Elevate is artificially constraining their geographic footprint for this test. They are pouring their advertising budget exclusively into the southeastern United States.
Oh, really? Just the southeast?
Yeah. Specifically Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, and Tennessee.
Why there?
Because the Shopify data dictated that constraint. Despite those early orders coming from friends and family, the operational data showed that their fulfillment times, shipping costs, and minor organic traction were all strongest in the southeast.
That is so smart. You don't try to boil the ocean with 50 grand.
No, you boil a very specific, highly optimized pond where you already hold a slight logistical advantage.
I love that. And the budget allocation of the 50K reflects that same ruthless optimization.
It really does. Break down the numbers for us.
Okay, so exactly half of it, $25,000, is dedicated strictly to paid media.
That's a big chunk.
It is. Another $10,000 is carved out for a specific manufacturing run. And they explicitly define this as a two-flavor continuity run, producing exactly 7,084 cans.
That detail is brilliant, honestly.
Why is that?
Because even though they formulated four flavors and a powder stick, they are only producing green apple and watermelon for this 90-day test.
Oh, I see.
It drastically reduces their upfront manufacturing costs, and it totally eliminates the risk of unsold inventory just rotting in a warehouse somewhere.
But it still gives the marketing team enough physical product to fulfill those trial purchases.
Exactly.
Okay, so what about the rest of the money?
The remaining funds are broken down into $6,000 for content creation, $4,000 to activate influencers.
Wait. Only $4,000 for influencers.
Yeah, but that $4,000 influencer budget is a perfect example of their modern strategy.
How so?
10 years ago, an influencer budget meant paying one minor celebrity to hold the can in a single Instagram photo.
Right, for like 10 grand.
Exactly. Today, it means paying 10 micro creators $400 each to generate user-generated content.
Oh, UGC.
Yes. They film themselves holding the can on a golf course, talking naturally to the camera about how they got a great buzz, but woke up feeling perfectly hydrated.
And then Elevate takes those raw, authentic-looking videos and feeds them directly into their paid ad campaigns.
Yep, it performs way better.
And the remaining budget.
$2,000 for retention marketing software and $3,000 held back as emergency working capital.
Got it. Now, you mentioned the $25,000 media budget. What is the channel breakdown for that?
They are pushing 40% of the budget into Metaso, Facebook, and Instagram, focusing heavily on initial acquisition and retargeting people who visited the site but didn't buy.
Makes sense.
Then 25% is allocated to Google search.
Which is purely about capturing high intent.
Exactly.
When a 40-year-old professional specifically types fast-acting THC seltzer zero sugar into Google, Elevate is paying to ensure their link is the absolute first thing that appears.
Right. And the final 20% of the media budget goes to TikTok, which is utilized strictly for top-of-funnel discovery and lifestyle education.
Okay, so that's the budget. But what about the timeline? How does this play out over the 90 days?
Well, the timeline for deploying this capital reveals the psychology of cash flow survival, because days 1 through 30 of the blueprint are not actually focused on acquiring strangers at all.
Wait, really? After all that talk about finding strangers?
I know, it sounds counterintuitive. The first 30 days are an Elevate is Back campaign.
Oh, they go back to the friends and family.
Exactly. They are going back to that original database of 95 friends, family, and early supporters.
Just to get some quick cash in the door.
Yeah, they are doing it to generate an immediate injection of $3,000 to $7,500 in quick cash flow. They are grabbing the lowest hanging fruit to help fund the much harder, more expensive work of testing the cold market.
That's fascinating. They aren't just pulling a slot machine lever. They're running a scientific laboratory.
That's a great way to look at it.
So what happens after day 30?
Days 30 to 90 are the crucible. That is the paid social validation phase.
This is the stranger test.
Yes. This is where they rapidly test 10 to 15 different advertisement variations every single week. They are buying data points to see which specific headline, which specific video hook, and which specific flavor profile actually convinces a stranger to click and convert under that $35 threshold.
And if they manage to get those strangers through the door, what then?
Then, days 60 through 180, activate the retention engine.
The $2,000 software budget.
Yes, heavily utilizing platforms like Klaviyo. And Klaviyo isn't just a basic newsletter tool, it tracks behavior.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah. So if a stranger buys a 4-pack of watermelon, Klaviyo automatically waits exactly 12 days, calculates that the customer is likely down to their last can, and automatically texts them a 15% discount on a full 24-can case.
Wow. That behavioral automation is basically the only way a direct-to-consumer beverage brand survives.
Exactly. You pay the high cost of acquisition once, and you let the automated software drive the profit margins for the next year.
Deconstructing this pitch deck provides an incredibly sharp lens for evaluating almost any endeavor. I mean, the mechanics of selling a functional THC beverage are fascinating, but the core takeaway here is really the brutal, uncomfortable honesty required to assess your own traction.
It really is. When you look at the early wins in your own life, you have to find the courage to ask the hard question.
Which is
this a scalable success, or is this just my mom buying my lemonade?
Exactly. And I think that's a question you, the listener, need to ask yourself. Whether you are launching a side hustle out of your garage, pitching a new internal initiative to your corporate bosses, or just trying to grow an audience for a creative project, are you actively designing a mechanized, repeatable system to reach strangers?
Right.
Or are you stuck in a million-dollar fantasy phase, floating on the validation of a supportive inner circle that makes you feel successful, but cannot actually sustain your growth?
It's a tough pill to swallow.
It is. But Elevate Quantum D9 had the immense discipline to face their own data, drop their ego entirely, and ask for 50 grand just to prove their math worked.
And, you know, as we wrap up this analysis, there is a massive macroeconomic implication lurking behind this $50,000 pivot.
Ooh, tell me.
Elevate is applying the exact same hyper-optimized, data-driven behavioral marketing funnels that built billion-dollar direct-to-consumer empires in premium coffee and athletic supplements.
Right. They are treating a mildly psychoactive substance with the exact same mathematical rigor as a daily vitamin subscription.
Think about the long-term threat that poses.
To who?
To the legacy brands. If the functional low-dose alcohol alternative market suddenly achieves better unit economics, vastly superior digital behavioral data, and a direct daily digital relationship with the consumer that massive legacy beer brands simply cannot match.
Wow.
Are we currently watching the stealthy, data-driven beginning of a total beverage industry takeover?
What a terrifying thought for the legacy alcohol conglomerates.
Hey.
I mean, from a humbling lemonade stand realization to a highly lethal, data-backed threat to the entire beverage aisle.
It's pretty wild to think about.
It really is. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Take these lessons, audit your own data to make sure you aren't just selling to your friends, and we will catch you next time.